Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys? And we're filming from different places again,
I'm
so.
cold. I'm outside. It's 41 degrees.
Oh, do
Oh,
you not have a jacket?
I do. I have a blanket too, but it's so cold.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So who are we talking about today?
Okay, so we're still doing, our themes, and this one is, robbery. This week is actually St. Patrick's Day, which we're basing this theme off of. I think we have one more for this month. And then we move on. But
What is next month's?
kidnapping. Cause like I went into those stories and I was like, I don't know what category to put this in. So I was like, let's have a month dedicated to it.
Next month is kid.
Not
You know what? Parades. Parades, I'm sure there's some kidnapping in there.
anyways,
I
so
feel like that could have. I feel like.
missing persons.
Missing persons. Oh, yeah. So I had an idea for missing persons like a long time ago when we did the Gabito case. And then after that, we had like 2 months off. We kind of like. That was the end of our first season, I guess. So I have a ton of just like research on missing people that are like actually missing right now that do not have attention on them. So I'm thinking that maybe we could start like doing some of that, like each because it's only like 2 minutes of information, but yeah, like I have one right now that I was thinking just to bring some light on.
We could
But
add
yeah.
them into an episode.
If I can find it, we could do it now. But anyways, yeah, so I was thinking
Yeah, I like that idea.
that would be cool. I do not think I still like have it up, but like Oh wait, yeah, I do. Okay, so Alicia Navarro, she went missing on September 15th, 2019 from Glendale, Arizona. She is on the autism spectrum, possibly groomed on the internet. Her last statement was a letter to her mother saying, "I ran away. I will be back. I swear I'm sorry." It's now been 4 years. No, I'm not doing math correctly. 3 years.
2019.
3 years. And she hasn't been heard from. Her mother wants her home and safe. So she would be 16. She might be 5'4", 5'4", 5", sorry. And last time she was seen, she was 95 pounds and had brown hair, brown eyes, and braces. She disappeared from Glendale. She was wearing a sweatshirt, whitewashed denim skirt, black and white Vans, and had a silver MacBook Pro. So if you've seen or heard anything like in the past 3 years, please call Glendale, Arizona Police Department.
This
Her,
may what?
yeah,
Sorry.
she. So her mother is on TikTok. So if you've seen this before, yeah, it's a little more popular. But I've also gone on to the FBI page, and looked through the missing persons. So I have a few that have gotten no attention, and I just want to kind of bring light to that too. So
Sorry,
yeah.
I got distracted by something in the sky.
So yeah. Yeah, just please,
I hate to say this, but it's in 3 years. I don't know how, like, I don't know.
Well, they found nothing.
I mean,
So,
there
I
could be a
mean,
chance,
that she
like,
I'm thinking that she probably got trafficked or something.
she
Because she
very
was
well,
groomed on
like,
the internet, there has been no evidence found, and her mother has built a following on social media to find her. She has done a lot. She has the police involved, the whole community is involved. And yeah. So.
Yeah, that sucks. Oh my God, that's
It
so
does
sad.
suck, but it's not just her either. There are so many other little girls who have been trafficked, and yeah. So let's get into our case.
Yeah, okay. So this case, I always kind of I thought it was interesting. I have this, I watched the show A Crime to Remember. Mm-hmm. It's like reenactments of crime. And I saw this on here like a long time ago. And I was like, this case is absolutely insane. Oh. So we're going to be talking about the Clutter family murders.
Clutter? Were they messy? Yes.
No.
Maybe I shouldn't laugh about murder. not a funny situation, guys. Not funny at all.
Okay, so
maybe a little when I make a joke out of it, but that's not funny. That's more like
not mentally funny.
Dark humor. Just mentally preparing myself. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a bad joke. I think this might actually.
So our story today starts in Holcomb, Kansas, which I think this is our first Kansas case.
I feel like it's not, because I feel like you've said we've had a Kansas. No, that was Ohio.
I don't think actually
that was
this
Ohio.
Might. I do not even know.
Where was the hi-fi shop?
That was Ohio. No, Utah.
Utah. Yeah, that was our first Utah case.
Who knows? Okay, so anyway. Oh my god, I just put a plus sign. Okay. This took place back in 1959.
Jeez. Okay, old boomer. Literally.
Okay, so. Holcomb was, like, a very small town with a lot of farmland. I cannot remember
I'm
the exact...
I'm a hillbilly.
Like, I can't remember the exact, like, the exact population. But it was a very small population. Jesus, Jocelyn. Okay. So, Holcomb was a very safe place, and everyone knew everyone,
was
you know?
It? Did they?
I feel like every story is like this safe place, we leave our safe doors place. Unlocked, and then everyone dies. So,
yeah.
So anyway, so yeah. Everyone knew everyone. Your kids could just run around and no one locked their doors.
That's stupid. Sorry, but it is.
So among
just
all the
asking
family,
to be murdered if you don't lock your door. Like what the heck?
I'm very excited about this part because usually in our stories, you know, it's about a certain killer.
Yeah.
But today you don't get to know the killer until later because it's not in the title. But you can't. It's not like
did
a guessing
I do that?
I do not know.
What were the clutter? Like, is it spelled like with a K or a C?
C.
Like clutter, like mess?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a name.
I also think I forgot to put this in, but I'll talk about it later. Okay, so our main focus for today, you know, is the Clutter family. They were a very well-respected family. They lived in a large farmhouse on over 600 acres of land. They're not hillbillies.
I'm disrespecting the dead.
yes, you are.
I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to. I just make dark jokes sometimes.
It's okay. It's like, I do too. That's my thing.
It's like, if I don't, I'm going to start crying on film, and people are going to be like, is she okay?
Okay, so Herb Clutter, the dad, was a very
Herb, like a.
Jesus. So he was a hard worker, and he had done very well for himself. He had married his wife Bonnie, and he married his wife Bonnie in 1934. Bonnie was a very kind woman.
Nice. Yeah, Bonnie's always nice. If you're named Bonnie, you're. Every Bonnie I've ever met.
Okay,
if you're named Bonnie, you're automatically nice in my eyes.
Family was also very religious. So this family was wealthy, and everyone knew that.
Money makes the world go round.
So this crime was actually based off of their money, and I saw this that
somebody was a little greedy.
So Herb never really kept money around. Always wrote checks.
Herb, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, even if, like, it was, like, a $2 haircut, he'd leave a check.
That's...
Yeah.
That's
so anyway.
Suspicious.
So, the family was wealthy, like I said. I already read that. Herb and Bonnie had
four
kids.
Wait, how did you get in the 50s?
Okay. Herb and Bonnie had four kids. Beverly...
Four?!
Yes, Beverly, Eviana.
You know,
Beverly?
That's okay. There are many people with four kids. If you have four kids, good for you. I don't know how you're surviving.
Beverly, Eviana, Nancy, and Kenyon.
Kenyon?
So, yes. So, our focus for today, though, is on Nancy and Kenyon. So, Beverly and Eviana had already moved out.
They didn't kill their parents, correct?
No. Beverly and Eviana had already moved out. At this point, you know, they already started their lives.
Do they have kids? Did they all get
I have
killed?
No idea. No. That's what I said. Them two had already moved away.
They're gone. They said, peace, not getting murdered today.
So Nancy was 16. She was very social and bubbly.
Oh, crap. And these people are, like, might be alive still.
Only two of them are. So.
Well, yeah.
Kenyon, I think they're still alive. I don't know.
My granddad. I love my granddad, but, like, he's, like, 90,
so. So Kenyon was 15. He was also very sweet, but he's also described as kind of awkward. So let's see. So Nancy's friend, also named Nancy. So almost every Sunday they would go to church together. However, this Sunday, November 15th, 1959, a little after 9 a.m., when her friend came to get Nancy, she made an awful discovery.
Blah. Blah, blah, blah.
So the girl rang the doorbell and waited for someone to answer, but no one did. And she looked around a bit and noticed the cars were still there and knew they had to be home. So she just assumed they didn't hear her, and she went to the back door and knocked, but still no answer. So the girl actually got back in her car and drove to another friend's house named Susan. And asked if she had...
How old are they?
I don't know.
Real old, apparently. Susan. I love the name Susan.
This is in 1959. Okay, so... 13 years. Sweet old lady. So... She asked if she had heard from Nancy, and she said no, and they began, Nancy, you know, the friend Nancy.
Nancy.
She began to get worried. Nancy. So, the girls called the Clutters home, like, the phone, but, no one answered.
Was this crime scene a clutter?
Jesus.
I'm so sorry.
So,
trying not to cry right now. I feel so bad.
The girls decided to go down to the Clutters' home to check on them. They rang the doorbell, but still no one answered. So they actually decided to go into the house. No. Okay. So they go into the home. They both yell for Nancy, but still no answer.
It's like some horror movie type stuff.
So the two girls go upstairs to Nancy's room. Once they made it to the room, the girls couldn't help but scream. They saw blood covering the walls. Ew. Nancy was dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like dead, dead? Or like dead, dead?
She's dead. She was shot in the head.
Oh.
She's not coming back from that.
Well, I mean, we've proved it before.
Yes, but that did not happen. So... The girls ran outside to their parents, who had been waiting outside in their cars.
Oh, dang.
And explained what they had seen. What?
Their parents were with them?
No, they were outside in the car.
Well, yeah. So
one of the girls' fathers ran inside the home and called the police, but notices, like, he went in there to call the police, but he notices the phone lines had been cut.
Oh!
You know, that's not good.
Were these people, like, tortured? For, like...
I can't tell you anything. They drive to the nearest phone and call the police. So, the police first, when they got there, they went to Nancy's room. She had been shot in the back of the head with a shotgun, and she had also been bound.
Is this, like, a well-known serial killer?
They're not... I don't know.
Is this guy well-known?
It's more than one guy. Okay. So...
God dang.
I mean, it took two people to kill four people, though. I mean, Richard Speck, on the other hand, killed eight people by himself.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Okay, let's get back to what I was doing. The police Mom? Next...
Brianna's scaring me. I'm kidding.
The police next enter the master bedroom, where they find Bonnie. She had also been bound and gagged and shot in the back of the head with a shotgun.
Somebody really didn't like Miss Bonnie?
The police then make their way to the basement of the home, where they find Herb and Kenyon. Kenyon had been lying on the couch, also bound and gagged, and he'd been shot in the back of the head with a shotgun. No, God. In the head with a shotgun. Nancy was the only one shot in the back of the head.
Damn.
They also find Herb, he was also bound, gagged, and shot in the head.
Oh my God.
And his
what is
throat,
with this?
his throat had also been slashed.
I couldn't find my glasses. Why did they overkill on him and not the others?
I don't know, but I couldn't find my glasses and I realized they're on my face. Okay? So, Al Dewey was the lead investigator.
Al Dewey.
He had attended the same church as the family. The investigators found a bloody footprint in the basement. The only items missing from the home, though, was a small radio and a pair of binoculars.
That's it. These people were rich, and you just took binoculars and a radio.
They killed all the people just for those two items. It's insane.
You just took a binoculars.
And a radio.
Yeah. Binoculars so, and a radio. Wait, why are they called? Hmm? Never mind.
So the police looked into different suspects, obviously, not that's how it works. Yeah. They first looked into the two oldest sisters of the family, but they were quickly ruled out.
So I'd say that makes sense, but sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, you never know. So they also looked into a man named Joe Berkeley, who was a business associate of Herb's, but he was also quickly ruled out.
Herb Ertlinger! Oh, sorry.
So that's from then, a show. They next looked into Nancy's boyfriend, Bobby Rupp. You know, boyfriends are always suspicious.
Yeah.
Bobby was one of the last people to see the family alive. He had been over that night. I don't know if they were watching a movie or planning on going to a movie, but he was the last one to see them. So... Herb didn't Why really didn't he like go to Bobby. The movie? Because the dad told them to reschedule for the next Friday, which clearly did not happen. So, Herb did not like Bobby. That he didn't really see much of a future for the two. So,
that kind of sucks.
I know. So Bobby was also ruled out. However, people in the town still believed he had done it. The reason, like, one of the main reasons they believed it could have been Bobby is because Nancy was the only one shot in the back of the head. So maybe they were like, maybe, you know, he didn't want her to look at him when he shot her. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay, but hear me out. If you really cared that much, why would you kill them? Why?
So anyway, you know. They had received many tips,
I guess if you're
but...
insane. I guess kind
of
have
to. None of them really led anywhere. Investigators were basically at a standstill. They put out a reward for $1,000, hoping to get somewhere, which was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
It's a good bit of money now, but, you know, back in 1959. Yeah, but it's not as much as it was. Okay. Where was I? Oh, they received a call from an inmate named Floyd Wells at the Kansas State Penitentiary saying he had information on the murders. When the police went to interview Wells, they found out that he had worked for the Clutters about 10 years before they were murdered.
Okay. And how long has this man been in prison?
I don't know, a while. He told the investigators about his cellmate, Richard Hickok.
Uh-oh.
Wells said he told Richard how the Clutter family had a lot of money and told him about a safe the family kept in their home.
Oh, dang.
Richard was excited about the safe, and him and his friend Perry Smith were going to be released soon. So, Richard told Floyd they were going to go to the Clutter's home, tie them up, and kill them and take the money from their safe.
And did they? Yes.
Yeah. why am I laughing? Oh my god. Okay.
Oh my god. Look at Louie's butt. Sorry, Louie's my cat. Okay. That was really creepy.
So we're going to talk about...
I do not like myself. I need to go, like, bleach my mouth. That
we're
going to
talk about
me.
These people now. So, Richard Hickok had a good childhood. He was hardworking, smart... But
did he hurt animals?
No. Oh. I don't think. maybe. Richard suffered a head injury in a car accident, and after that, he changed. He left his wife and kids. He began drinking a lot. He also began to steal. He had been in prison for 5 years, which is where he learned of the safe. So Perry Smith had a difficult childhood. But Richard, okay, he had the good childhood, yet he
not
was
as
more
difficult as the people he killed. Sorry.
Richard was, he had a better life, but he was almost more disturbed.
Why?
I don't know. So Perry Smith, he, like I said, he had a rough childhood. His mom was an alcoholic. His dad was abusive.
Oh, damn.
So his father eventually went to prison. And after this, his mother really neglected the rest of the family. Perry got in trouble a lot. So there's actually one story.
Who's Perry from? Oh, the platypus.
Yeah. Trust me, I thought it the whole time. So Perry,
Periwinkle. That's
he actually
a color.
Went to like one of those schools, you know, for like trouble people.
Yeah.
And the nuns that worked there
actually
would like beat him. And there's this one incident where he was hit, you know, down there and it almost came off. Like it almost
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, where was I? So he had got eventually
with what?
A flashlight.
He was hit with a flashlight.
Yeah.
And it almost came off.
Yeah. So anyway, eventually he landed himself in the same prison as Richard. So it's getting dark out. Oh my god. Okay, so once they were released from prison, they both stayed at Richard's parents. They actually stayed at Richard's parents' home just 2 days before the murder. The next day, they grabbed a shotgun and started to drive to Holcomb, Kansas. Around midnight, they arrived at the Clutter family home. They entered the home through an office door and began searching for the safe. But they couldn't find it. They wake up Herb and demand he tells them where the money is. Herb told them there was no money at the house. However, Richard kept insisting. Richard told Perry to cut the phone lines, which he did. The two brought Herb upstairs where his wife Bonnie was sleeping and then asked her where the money was, which he also said there was no safe. Next, they go to Kenyon's room, wake him up, and bring him to the parents' room. Lastly, they go to Nancy's room, but before entering the room, Richard told Perry he wanted to rape Nancy. But Perry was like, no, we're not doing that. That's not happening. So they went in her room, and she was already awake, and she asked them what they want. And they simply told her it was none of her business.
Rude.
I know, right? Like, God, show some respect.
Yeah, you're about to murder me. At least, like, be nice.
Right? Anyway. Perry wanted to leave knowing they wouldn't get any money. But Richard kept insisting. So they put the family in the bathroom. And they search for anything of value. They find $50, binoculars, and a small radio. The two then put Bonnie in her room where they tie her up. Next, they take Nancy to her room and tie her up as well. And then lastly, they take Herb and Kenyon down to the basement and put them in separate rooms and tie them up as well. I'm pretty
sure. How old were they all?
I don't know about the adults, but Kenyon was 15 and Nancy was 16.
Oh, that's sad.
So Perry, I'm pretty sure it was, placed two pillows under Kenyon's head. And put Herb on, like, a cardboard or something. Almost like he wanted him to be, like, comfortable, you know? So, anyway, they continued to ask Herb where the money is. But, you know, he kept telling, like, there's no money there, you know? Like I said, he paid in checks.
Yeah.
So, he was like, if there was any money, I'd give it to you and stuff like that. So, Perry then asked Richard what they should do. And Richard said he wants to get rid of them. So Perry then grabs a knife and slits Herb's throat and then shoots him in the head with a shotgun. Then they shoot Kenyon, then they shoot Nancy, and then lastly they shoot Bonnie. I saw in other places that Nancy was shot last, but the girls were both shot last. I don't know which one was exactly last. So
that's
anyway.
That's kind of sad.
The two quickly left. After leaving the area, they stopped somewhere to bury some of the evidence. This is, like, very confusing. So the two spent some time in Kansas City. By the time the police get there, you know about it, they were already gone. They went to Mexico and planned to stay there for a while, but they ran out of money quickly. They sold some items, but still didn't have enough money, so they decided to head back to the U.S. and make some money, and then go to Brazil.
Why wouldn't you just get a job in Mexico?
So, it's December 15th,
I guess if you don't know how to
murder.
Speak, like, Spanish.
And the police know for a fact that Richard and Perry did it. I'm actually gonna head inside, so like just like entertain people for a minute. Oh my god, I don't think I can get up.
I'm still very. Why wouldn't they just get a job in Mexico?
Because they're stupid.
Well, yeah, but like, even if you didn't speak Spanish, I think you could figure out a way to figure it out.
Right.
Like, I mean, I like. Whoa, that's a terrible noise. Like, isn't English the hardest language to learn?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you sort of be able to, like...
I know some like, words, you know.
Go to school. Hola, Sudora. That's not really the name. I mean, I've taken, like, 2 years of Spanish. I know it. I know okay enough at it.
I'm decent, I suppose.
I mean, I passed Spanish, so...
I cannot see.
In, like... I don't know.
I don't know. They kind of are stupid. But, you know, it's a good thing they were stupid.
I guess it was in the 50s? But 59? Still. 59? Oh, well, then technically almost the 60s.
It's a good thing they were stupid, though.
Yeah, it is. But, like, they were just a little smarter and got a job in Mexico. Like, they literally probably could have cleaned houses.
Yeah. You know?
Made a little bit of money.
Let's get back to the story, shall we? Mm-hmm. I have no idea where it was. Oh, yeah. So, 31 days after they were killed. No, I already read that. They didn't know where they were, even though they knew they did it.
Yeah.
So, Perry and Richard were in Iowa after hitchhiking, but decided it was too risky to continue doing so. So, they stole a car and went back to Kansas City. Why would they go back there? So, the police found out, but once again, once they got there, Richard and Perry were already gone.
Did they ever get these men?
Yes.
Men?
Okay. The two drove through many different states before stopping in Las Vegas.
Did they get married? I'm kidding. I think
I'm just kidding.
What? Oh,
just
kidding. Like, it wasn't illegal then? Okay. Okay, guys. So
it was right, now December.
Go off.
It's now December 30th, 46 days after the murder. When Al Dewey, the lead investigator, got a call from the Las Vegas Police Department saying they had Richard and Perry in custody. Nice. Officers saw their car outside the post office. And when they searched their car, they found a box of belongings which had boots that matched the footprints at the crime scene.
These men deserve to be, like, hit in the head and pushed in a dumpster. And thrown, like, rotten fish thrown on them, you know?
What kind of punishment is that?
Well, not hit in the head, maybe. Just shoved in one of those, like, really nasty dumpsters. And rotten fish thrown at them.
So, in one of
the... It's my punishment. That's
the show I watched about this. It said, before that guy told him about, like, you know, the guy in prison talked to the police?
Yeah.
It said in the show that they had actually arrested someone else for the... Not arrested him, but, like, suspected it was someone else. And, you know, brought him in for questioning. But he was released because it wasn't him.
What?
Anyway. Al Dewey and the other investigators made their way to Vegas. Perry was not saying anything like the two had agreed on. But Richard had told investigators everything.
Suck it, Perry and Richard.
They both tried to put the blame on each other, which they usually do.
Yeah.
But they had confessed. So when it was time for their trials, their lawyers... I don't know. Their lawyers had claimed, you know, an insanity thing for them. They're pretty insane, but like...
God, I don't like this lawyer.
So the trial began on March 22nd, 1960. And the courtroom was absolutely packed. The trial went on for days. And
did anybody throw any rotten fish? Or tomatoes? But tomatoes aren't as good as rotten fish. Because rotten fish would, like, hurt. But it also would smell bad. And, like, the juice from the fish would be, like, meh.
Okay, so
I would throw rotten, slimy fish.
In less than 30 minutes, the jury reached a verdict. Both Richard Hickok and Perry Smith were found guilty and sentenced to death by hanging.
You little... Oh.
So on Wednesday, April 14th, 1965. I mean, I guess
you could throw rotten fish at them then too. But like...
at midnight, Richard Hickok was killed, and minutes later, it was Perry's turn, and then you know, damn. He was dead. You know, I saw somewhere that their last meal. What?
What? I want to throw a rotten fish at them. Do they have like grease? That's right.
No, you shouldn't disrespect the dead, no matter how bad they've been.
But like, I want to.
Definitely, definitely. I saw somewhere their last meal. It's like I literally would honestly probably have the exact same. Let me see if I can find it real quick because it's kind of funny.
Okay. Was it fish? Was it rotten fish? Did they?
It was not fish.
Sorry, I don't know what my obsession with fish is today. I guess I had sushi.
I don't either.
No, I just really hate the smell of fish. And rotten fish is so bad that it makes me want to throw up. So, like, if I had a rotten fish thrown at me, I would literally pass out. Because, like, it would hurt, but it would also smell so bad. And then it would be all slimy and bleh.
What the heck? Okay, so, like, the last meal had, like, they had seasoned shrimp. They did have fish! They had garlic bread. It was weird. They had, like, a bunch of random stuff. Here it is. They ordered spiced shrimp, french fries, garlic bread, ice cream, and strawberries with whipped cream.
Okay, I'm sorry. How do you eat that much before you die?
Like, you're gonna die. You're gonna eat everything.
How are you not nervous? I guess you could stress eat.
It's just like, if I'm gonna eat all of this, I'm about to die. I'm going to eat the crap out of everything.
Yeah, I would not. All right. Thank you for listening today. Also, yet again, if you've heard any... Wait. Let's do a moment of silence for Ukraine.
That's not silence.
All right, 3, 2. Okay. Also, if you have heard anything about... Alicia Navarro, please contact the Glendale, Arizona Police Department. Mm-hmm. If you've seen or heard anything, and if you haven't, well then, please keep her in your thoughts. And yeah, and if you ever do see or hear anything, yet again, call the Glendale Police.
I'm so glad I came inside. It's 39 degrees.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Yes. Bye. I probably won't be editing this because it seemed okay.
We don't.
I do.
Wait.